Babylon, yeah. You queen of my homeland. Dump it down and rehab. Ethiopia calling. I hear a call in mystery Babylon. Your queen of my homeland. Down to the ground and rehab. Ethiopia. Your queen of my home, it's stumbling down and rehab. Ethiopia, I hear her calling the street Babylon. Your queen of my home, stumbling down and rehab. Ethiopia is calling. Send my sons and daughters back home.
Thank you for listening to great speeches and interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman, and today we have Ralph Nader speaking. He's a great man who has improved the quality of life for generations of Americans. Because of Ralph, we drive safer cars, eat healthier food, breathe better air, and drink cleaner water and work in safer environments.
Ralph Nader, thank you for mentioning your book, Only the Super Rich Can Save Us. I had that next on my notes, and I've been doing research for the show. I was struck by, for your first novel or first exercise in political fiction, the reviews were rather complimentary. Maybe you had a life in fiction you didn't know.
Well, it's a kind of writing a lot of us can do. Very few people can write novels. I can't write novels. This is political fiction. This is basically saying, well, what if the resources are here. You can see yourself when you're having a struggle in a local town or city. You want something changed. You're dealing with a polluter. You're dealing with a zoning issue, or you're dealing with city hall, and you lose. And you're sitting around the cafeteria with your friends who you worked with, and you all lost. And you say, "Well, what if we had more media? Would it have changed the outcome? What if we had more organizers? What if we had more money?" And if we don't envision this, since much of the great social justice movements in our country were significantly funded by rich people. The abolition movement against slavery, more than a few proper Bostonians wrote, put the money in there. The women's right to vote, same thing. The modern environmental civil rights movement, same thing. So what we need to do is get these Warren Buffetts and Ted Turners and William Gates Sr. and many others to think of moving from charity to justice. And I just had a session on May 4th at the New York Public Library with two of the characters in the book, Bob. One was Ted Turner, and the other was Peter B. Lewis of Progressive Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all online. It's never happened before. The title was of the session in the New York Public Library that evening was Billionaires Against Bull. And it's on the website of the New York Public Library, and you probably will never see something like this. They were pretty candid, and we talked about moving some philanthropic dollars from charity to justice. And of course, William Gates Jr. and William Buffett have already signed up 65 multi-billionaires here and abroad to pledge half of their wealth to good works. So, in fact, Ted Turner was flying the next day to Phoenix to meet with over 50, because he pledged over half of his. So we have a great opportunity here to do what the right wing has done, is tap into some of these billionaires for action, not just for soup kitchens, but to deal with poverty, to deal with corporate power, to deal with media access. So look at it, and I think in the next couple weeks, C-SPAN was there, and they're going to play it on C-SPAN.
Okay, thank you for that notification, Ralph Nader. We've got a couple callers who have been waiting patiently. Let's try to get to them right now. Let's start with line 4, Chicago. You're on the air with Ralph Nader.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Ralph?
Very good.
Great. I admire you greatly. I used to hear you all the time on Chuck Carter's show back in the 90s, and I did vote for you back in 04.
Thank you.
I want to ask, since you mentioned on your C-SPAN interview, one of your favorite philosophers is a guy named Henry George.
Yes.
And I happen to be affiliated with an outfit in Chicago called the Henry George School. And so I kind of study that very deeply. And for those who aren't up on it, Henry George he basically championed a free market, but he said people have to have the wealth to participate in a free market. So he said that wealth has to be redistributed. What do you think, Ralph, about with respect to the airwaves? A George's policy, would that be basically just collecting the rent on the airwaves and leaving the content alone? That's my first question.
And yeah, that's good. That's very right. I mean, he had this phrase, the unearned increment. That is, a lot of very wealthy people in this country who think they made it by themselves in their own initiative. He laughed at that. He said, really, you own a piece of land, the government builds a road near it, suddenly the piece of land increases sixfold. Yeah, you really sweated for that one. So he had this single tax idea, which actually a lot of conservatives look benignly on, where you would tax the unearned increment of the land value. That's one way. And I think today he would have had a similar application to the commonwealth that we all own, but we don't control and give away free, namely a third of the public of the land in America, the public lands, and we own it. But it's given away largely to mineral companies, oil and gas and gold, and I mean, some of them pay small royalties, but the gold, silver, and molybdenum, hard rock, they get it free, or $5 an acre. A Canadian firm got $9 billion, with a B, dollars of our gold on federal land in Nevada about 12 years ago, and they got it for $30,000. No other country gives away its hard rock minerals like that. So I think Henry George would have had an appropriate unearned increment taxation there, and the same with the public airways, and the same with all the modern industry in our country that was started with taxpayer-funded research and development. You know, like little industries, like half of the pharmaceutical industry, the aerospace industry, the semiconductor computer industry, the biotech industry, the containerization industry. These guys ought to apologize and express their gratitude to the taxpayers, because without government R&D out of the National Institutes of Health, the Pentagon, NASA, they wouldn't be anywhere. Anywhere.
Well, you could look at...
Looks like we've seem to have lost line 4, unfortunately, Ralph Nader.
Yeah, sorry.
And, you know, that's quite all right. I'm sorry about that to line 4, because it's a great question. Let's go to line 2 now. Kankakee, you're on the air with Ralph Nader.
Hi, thanks. Great stuff then and now. I'd just like to bring up the issue of public access television. I know that, I believe that Barry Goldwater, the conservative, was a big champion at the onset of that, and I was wondering if you could, give your feelings on that. And my suggestion would be that, with the U of I, the School of Communications, I wonder why it is that they don't disseminate some of their knowledge about forming media entities locally, let's say like through the extension system or something like that. And if we did that and we were proactive in that area, do you think that a network could then be set up? And the other thing I would add is that all of the entities that you described in Washington have their local agents, and that's where people's opinion are formed. So just
good point.
Yeah, thank you very much, caller. Ralph Nader?
Yeah, I always thought that, you know, public access TV needs a heavy upgrade. It needs more facilities provided by the cable companies. You know, the cable companies are given monopoly markets by local jurisdictions and state jurisdictions. What do we get in return here? What if they had to put a notice on inviting you, the cable viewer, to join your own cable citizen action group with your own professionals representing you? economists and media specialists and lawyers. You think you'd be paying that much every month? You think you'd be getting that much junk on 150 channels? You'd be getting all kinds of different programming. We just don't talk about reciprocity. We got to say, when we have these giveaways, these corporations of public property or public license or public lands or public airwaves or public research and development, what are we getting day after day in return? That's why I wrote this book, Only the Super Rich Can Save Us, to elevate the demand level, to elevate the expectation level of people, which is lower than even many people in Western Europe had a higher demand to get the communal return, not just wages and salaries, to get their communal return for universal health care and better public transit and better public facilities and cheaper higher education for students and so on. So, you know, Bob, we really need to get over this constant response I get and you get. We're saying, hey, look, there's no more media a blockage. We have the Internet. You can get anything you want, anywhere, anytime, virtually free. So stop saying, oh, media monopolies, media restrictions. Oh, really? Huh? Well, what happens? How much information can you get on fine print contracts and that there is a group that is trying to do something about it, which is under one of our groups called CitizenWorks? Look at CitizenWorks.org, and you'll see that we're starting a major challenge against the trillions of dollars that are processed through these fine print insurance, bank, auto dealer, hospital, all these others.
Cell phone
contracts.
Cell phone contracts?
Yeah, cell phone contracts, right. One-sided, block you from going to court, have bold print that the vendor can change the contract at will, which makes a mockery. A contract shouldn't be changed at will. And they're not competitive between Ford and GM. They're the same contract, so you can't go to a competitor. And these right-wing judges uphold it. So you see, you got to have access. You got to have control, not just access, of some media time. And it's our property, and we ought to get a few hours back every day. Otherwise, we'll take years to get caught up on nanotechnology and the horrific risks and the invasions of privacy that are coming from nanotechnology. The companies just tout the benefits. They don't talk about the risks. We need a citizen action channel, full-time, 24 hours a day on cable, showing what people are doing all over the country. So to give morale to other people, to teach other people, and have to reinvent the wheel if something's done in Seattle. Here's how to do it, and here's how they did it in Seattle. Let's go to work, neighbors in Atlanta. We need to know our history of freedom of information. Everybody should know how to use the Freedom of Information Act. There's one in every state, and there's a federal one. I just learned, Bob, that last year there were 597,000 requests under the Freedom of Information Act for material from various agencies and departments in the federal government. Well, you know who started that? That was John Moss, Congressman John Moss, who's forgotten to history. One of the most important pieces of legislation, open government. You know, the currency democracy is information. I'm glad to say, by the way, Bob, that his general counsel has just written his biography, and he'd be a great guest on your show. His name is Michael Lemoff, and he was in it deep on Capitol Hill. He's just put out a book called People's Warrior, John Moss in the Fight for Freedom of Information and Consumer Rights.
Well, I'll look for that book, and thank you very much, Ralph, for that tip, Michael Lemoff. We do have one more caller I want to get to because we've only got a couple minutes left. Let's go now to line one. Champagne, you're on the air with Ralph Nader.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mr. Nader. It's always wonderful to hear what you have to say. I know time's really short. If you could talk about the prospects for Elizabeth Warren. Daryl Issa has just subpoenaed her to show back up again in front of the House. And
yes, she's a spectacular person in every way, a great communicator. I've rarely seen anyone better communicating financial issues, dealing with credit cards and payday loan rackets and all the rest of it, all the way up to the Wall Street shenanigans. Harvard law professor. She's now in the Treasury Department creating the new Consumer Financial Regulatory Agency inside the Federal Reserve. And the Republicans are out to get her. Barack Obama should have nominated her last year. He is drifting and delaying and putting his finger to the wind. I mean, she's the greatest person that could get more votes for him.
Readers,
so we're all pushing. The consumer groups are pushing. The decision will be made in the next few days because the agency is supposed to open up at the end of July. It can't do so without a director.
That's correct.
Place.
6 weeks, they said. It's going to roll out in 6 weeks.
Right. So you contact your best thing is to contact the White House. Call the White House switchboard.
Right. I can do that. Thank you very much. Go ahead and wrap it up.
Thank you very much, caller. Ralph, we've only got about a minute left, if that. And one last point I wanted to ask you real quickly to talk about. In the 1960s and early 70s, even into the 70s, you were all over the news media, and you seemed to be able to have an ability to create stories, set stories by the research your groups did. And that seems to be almost the polar opposite today. When did this process take place? When did you go from being a key figure in our news media culture to being a marginal figure?
I tell the media, you know, you improved the country in many ways by covering what we do, from auto safety to drug safety. And I guess they don't want to repeat that glorious age, as you referred to that time period in the 60s and 70s. There are two stages. One, when Tony Coelho from California, Congressman Coelho, convinced the Democratic Party to start dialing for corporate dollars, and the government started closing down on the civic community. And the second was when I challenged the Democratic and Republican parties for the Green Party nomination in 2000. And I would say that you can still get my weekly column. All you got to do, you get it free, just log into nader.org and sign up and look at the past columns, and you'll see how many of them are generated to lift our expectation and demand level and our morale level, and see that there are ways to turn this country around.
On that note, Ralph Nader, I hear the band tuning up in the background, which means they want to clear me out of the room. I can't thank you enough for taking an hour from your Sunday to join us, Ralph Nader. It's been an honor and a privilege, and good luck with your work.
I can't thank you for your great media reform work, Bob. You're the star of the academic world.
You can hear great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
I'm writing this right before the war begins. It's 10 p.m. I spoke too soon. It's 10:15, and here come the goons on a TV screen. Peace is doomed. At least it seems my coalition means the ends are never justified. Machiavelli lied. Can you justify the loss of innocent lies? Lie from the Oval Office. Off with his heading for a coffin. Cause hard luck softens fears for chemical tea parties in Boston. But what about the go? We ain't felt one blow from this so-called war on terror. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but bombs over Baghdad came true for Junior. Saddam wanted to debate, but we'd rather the bomb sooner than discuss with our fellow men. Crude tactics from a yellow-bellied Texan. Flowing fountains of reason, so bump this track or call me out for treason. I believe what I believe in, and I believe in this country. If it weren't for some things worth fighting for, scoring 7 years of fear. But it's the potential that keeps me here, the land of opportunity, targets, foreign markets. Now my fellow citizens watch as civilians pay the price for freedom. The unbalanced axis of evil will lead them and bleed them down for the resources, which forces dependency on the U.S. presidency. Notes with quotes like, may God bless, we made this mess, now let's clean up a riot. To find out who's next on the war of terrorism checklist, it's getting reckless, so change the name to Operation Iraqi Freedom. As the media continues to feed on what's already been chewed, like ABC, NN, I see BS news. With every button I press, clues but no answers to reporters live on the Kuwaiti border make no sense. Fucking journalists, primetime drama, bullshit. There's a fine line between ignorance and bliss.
So from this day forth and for eternity to come, conflict creates conflict with nowhere to run until the second coming of God's son. Remember, W is not one, even if you don't got one. Dollar, holler at your forefathers to redistribute power to all the people. The ruling system must reflect our decisions like prisms while I spark the ism. America free. Is America free? Power to the people, power to me.
The people of the United States.
Not in my name, Gunny.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, live as you or me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, said he. I never died, said he. The copper shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe. I didn't die, says Joe. I didn't die. And standing there as big as life and smiling,
again, don't know where, don't.
Father's